Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin from the Hinton Alliance Church, and
I'm Pastor Ryan,
and we're here together to bring to you some thoughts and to revisit Sunday's message and hopefully maybe ponder a few things about it and maybe dig up a few other things that maybe we didn't have time to say in the service. And so this is our way of kind of rethinking and reshaping and wandering through the message and hopefully learning some new things. And I'm glad you're here, and I hope that you can enjoy the journey with us. And so we look forward to spending this next half hour with you. And Lord willing, you'll be blessed as well.
All right, Kevin, here we are another week.
Hi. Yeah. Good to be here with you, Ryan.
Jumping into chapter one of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm. What a fun book.
It is.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot there.
It has me dancing with joy, but it also has me kind of just wondering so deeply about his love for me. Like it almost is staggering that God would, like, let's just plunge right in here, because there's a lot, there's so much here to unpackage. And on a Sunday morning, you can't possibly give what you need to be able to give in order to make it work. Like, even if you think about verse three, where there's the three blesseds, right? Blessed be God who has blessed us. In the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. All of these blessings. And I know I did spend a fair bit of time trying to show people on Sunday how because God himself is a blessed God, like he himself is purely blessed, and everything about him, the triune God, is a blessing. So the Father's relationship with the Son is blessed. The Son's relationship with the Father is blessed. Their relationship with the Holy Spirit is blessed. They are a blessed being. And you think of passages where it talks about how, like, in his presence is joy. Well, that, I think that's the sign of his blessedness. Yeah. Like it's really hard to try and get your brain to wrap around the fact of how in his presence, there is nothing but blessedness there. It kind of staggers the mind.
Right.
Like, it's even hard to put words to it. And even harder, I think, to understand that when we come into faith, when we approach his throne with faith, when we believe in him, He brings blessing to us, even in the form of suffering. Like that part, I think we didn't get to talk about much. Like, how do I know that he is a blessed God when I have to go through suffering and he doesn't? Because he's so blessed, right? In his triune self and in his pure community, it's all blessing, 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 blessing. But that is the beauty of the gospel. That you see Christ on the cross stepping outside the amazing blessing that's a part of the triune God and being forsaken. Like, you think about in the history of eternity, which can't happen because eternity doesn't have history, right? They have been together and in blessed form, together, blessed. And then that one moment in history, that one split second, he says, why have you forsaken me? He is now outside that blessing. You just think, how much sacrifice, how much love. I mean, it just, it staggers your heart and your mind to think that God loves me, you, whoever's listening, anybody really, but those of us listening and doing this, he loves us so much that he would be willing to step outside the blessedness of the triune God and die. Because that's part of it. He had to take on death. Because sin is death. He had to take it on, even though he knew he would master it because God was going to raise him from the dead.
He still had to take that
on.
It makes me think of Philippians 2, where it talks about the, you know, Christ's example of humility. You know, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of servant, being born in the likeness of man, and then later on, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And it's like, wow, the sacrifice, the eternal Godhead, like you said, there's that moment of almost a break, a separation. my God, why have you forsaken me? This is Jesus, who's fully God, yet somehow being removed from that blessedness so that we could then be brought into that blessedness.
He became filthy.
Mm-hmm.
He became dirty.
Yeah.
And you can't have dirt and blessedness at the same time.
Right.
He had to be outside
mm-hmm.
and he had to be forsaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If someone does something like that for you, how appreciative would you be?
Oh,
like,
I know.
If you knew that they really, really sacrificed just so you could have something.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense that he would do this, except that he is actually what he says he is, mm-hmm. love. He is love. He actually is love.
Yeah.
Not has love. No. He has love.
Right.
But he is more than love. That. He is actually love.
Mm-hmm. I love the picture that you shared of, you know, the breaking open of the Trinity so that we could be brought in.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's amazing.
Again, how can your brain gather that together?
Yeah.
It almost doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember when I heard that, I think it was Josh McDowell speaking at a youth conference. And he was talking about how he was, you know, he's a brainiac guy
mm-hmm.
and super good at like apologetics and mm-hmm. opening the scriptures right. and stuff like that. And even for him, I remember him saying, so it was so humbling for him to think
mm-hmm.
that somehow Jesus is outside the circle.
Right.
So that I could be inside the circle.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
That's our God, though.
Yeah.
You know, he is not like other gods. He mm-hmm. is nothing like other gods.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think of Greek mythology or Roman, the pantheon, mm-hmm. or, you know, even some of the faiths that are now part, right. like in India, there's hundreds of gods.
Right.
Right. Or even if you go to the Muslim faith, who mm-hmm. is Allah, the single God.
Right.
Our God is not, he's so different.
So different.
Yep. He's a Trinity.
Mm-hmm.
And he is full of blessedness. And yet in his head, somehow in himself, he came up with the idea, here's how I have to win them back.
Mm-hmm.
I got to send my son to die.
Right.
And take on the sins of the world and be outside the blessedness of being God.
Right.
Not craving it, not holding it so tightly that he mm-hmm. has to have it. And becoming, like you said, like a man, right? Mm-hmm. And being and dying for us. Hmm. Wow, that's a pretty special thought.
It is.
And it makes sense when you come into faith, like according to how Paul has written all of this, that apart from Christ, we had nothing.
That's right.
Right. So it's all, it all has to be in Christ. That's mm-hmm. why I think I emphasized that almost too much on Sunday, that it's all about being in Christ. It's where all of this is.
Yeah.
I have to go in him to get it.
Mm-hmm. And it makes sense that Paul would start out his letter like this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I had a little harder time trying to figure out why he would say I'm apostle of Jesus, not for Jesus. Because if you're an mm-hmm. apostle, you're a sent out one, right?
Right.
So really, technically, you are on behalf of. You are going for him.
For him.
But even though he is doing that, he doesn't see it as his main thing. His main thing is that he is of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an apostle of Christ.
Right.
First and foremost, I know him. He is my God. I am intimate with him. Mm-hmm. Yes, I get to my mission eventually, but it's more
my
that
identity
I'm
is more important.
It's in him. Identity that's, in him. That's right. Of Christ. Mm-hmm. And then even that he was, and it wasn't even my choice. It was God's will, his good, perfect, pleasing, pleasurable will that I would be an apostle. I didn't even, it sounds like the way he's written it. It's like, I didn't have a choice,
right?
Which he actually did, I suppose.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe I'm adding that to the scripture now. Yeah. Because how do you, I mean, he had to somehow agree.
Right.
Right. I mean, otherwise he wouldn't do it.
Right.
But then the way it came to him, it would be nuts for him to disagree or not to do what he has been called to do. Because it was pleasurable to God. Mm-hmm. And it was something that's a work of pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, that's a tough one to kind of mm-hmm. get your head around.
Yeah.
How he could be by the will of God an apostle, but not his own will somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Be at least being cooperative.
Right. Yeah, everything that got him to that point was God.
Yes.
He could have stepped away.
Yeah.
But everything that got him there
yeah, was yeah,
is a work of God in his life.
Kind of makes you wonder about the whole thing of free will. And it does. It does drive you there, doesn't it?
It does.
It pushes you there.
Yeah.
Because like the way he's written it, you want to argue back. You want to say, hold on.
Hold on. Wait, you chose.
Yeah, yeah.
And you, I can choose.
I can choose. You can choose. We can choose, can't we? And it is true we can. But I think if we try to push that into, if we try to massage that into this particular passage, because it comes up later.
Oh, definitely.
You have to make a choice.
Right.
But in this particular passage, I don't think he wants us to be distracted by the thought that we can somehow make a choice to join in with this.
Right.
I think he gets to it eventually. Like in this, like I mentioned on Sunday, this whole segment from verse 3 to verse 14 is one sentence in the Greek.
Wow.
So it's one continuous thought, one after the other, after the other. It's like rapid fire thought.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not allowed to interject something into the thought because it's sequential. It goes down a list.
Right.
And it makes sense only if you leave it the way it is.
Right.
If you try to interject something like free will, you spoil it. Mm-hmm. You spoil what the Holy Spirit's trying to accomplish in showing you how valuable you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you put yourself into the equation, it lessens what God has done and who he is in this process.
Right.
At least that's my opinion anyway. I mean, there's probably lots of people that would disagree with me, but that's how I perceive it.
And that, but it's easy, I think, for that idea. You know, when you hear the word predestined, we were predestined for adoption.
Yes.
You know, it's easy to want to interject. Well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Did God choose me apart from my choice, and did I have no choice in the matter?
Yeah.
And if that's the case, why doesn't he choose everybody?
Right.
Or why does he choose some people and not others? And
yeah.
How does that all?
Well, to me, I see it as you're predestined for adoption in Christ.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, if you're an orphan, let's say, for example, and someone is going to adopt you, well, they come and they adopt you.
Right.
And I suppose you have the choice to come along.
Right.
But you'd be nuts not to.
Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of like, well, yeah, you have a choice, but, you know, do I stay in the orphanage or do I go with these wonderful people?
Right.
Right. So, so there is that part to it. You're predestined for adoption. So in the adoption, again, it just, it flowers out because adoption is a perfect word. And we went through it on Sunday where we talked about the whole thing of the Roman.
Right.
They, and I didn't do even justice to the celebration because they had this big, long celebration of the person who's letting the child go. They let the child go, then they call the child back. And they do that three times.
Wow.
So you'd let your child go. Yeah. No, sorry, I take him back.
Yeah.
And then but ceremonially only. Ceremonially, is that a word? Only. Not in reality, because the purpose of the ceremony is that it is about adoption.
Right.
So you do this thing, and the way it kind of comes out is that it makes the child feel like he's so wanted by both the parent who's giving him away, because you could be, you could think, well, you didn't want me.
Right.
But he does this three times in the ceremony saying, no, I think I want you. Back again. and three times that happens. And then on the third time, it's official. It becomes official. And the new parent now says, no, he is mine.
Wow.
So you can see just even in the process, even though it was all pomp and circumstance and whatever, it makes the child feel so important.
Yeah.
That he is he's kind of like they're fighting over this wonderful gem.
Right.
You know, no, I want it. No, you can't. No, yeah. I'm at it. You know? So adoption is a perfect picture of God wanting us.
Yeah.
And that we are so valuable to him. And then, of course, once the adoption happens, then 9 times out of 10, or probably 10 times out of 10, it was a very wealthy person who needed an heir. Taking from a very poor family that they had nothing, right? Just brokenness, poverty, whatever else.
Yeah.
So this now becomes his new family. And the person who was before that redeemed from that, right? Because they had to pay a huge price. That redemption, and they paid it to this family, it was absolutely, totally sure. They had no more claim on this son. He was not theirs anymore. Full stop.
Yeah.
So they couldn't go back later, like in some of our courts, say, if you decide to adopt your child out and then you change your mind. You can't do that here. Mm-hmm. Once this happens, it happens. And that father now owns, really. I mean, you want it's a careful word because you don't really own them that
right.
way. But he becomes a part of everything that this father now has. It becomes his. Mm-hmm. And even if the father had 16 daughters, they get nothing.
Wow.
Of course, in that culture, because of
know,
females were not as valuable as males, I guess, in that sense. Mm-hmm. But he didn't have to share that with anyone. Mm-hmm. It was his. And that's why I thought it was so great to know. I didn't know this before, but apparently Augustus, he was adopted by an emperor. And eventually became the emperor. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because he adopted.
That's amazing.
It was not, he was no longer held to the poverty that he was born in. Mm-hmm. He was held to the new standard. And you think, okay, that's salvation.
Right.
He adopted me. Mm-hmm. He wants me because adoption means you want them.
Right.
And it means that you get whatever is in the new family. Mm-hmm. Right. You get that.
Yeah.
So it, to me, again, it's a perfect, you're predestined into greatness. That's, you can even use that word.
Right. Definitely.
You're predestined to be out of what you were.
Right.
To take on what you can be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a negative thing to be, to be predestined to this. Mm-hmm. It's all in Christ. It's such a positive thing.
Right.
You shed an old snake skin so that you can get a brand spanking new one.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I think when Paul said, behold, the old has come, or the old is gone, the new has come in 2 Corinthians. What? That is so true.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we actually hear it, believe it's true, but we don't necessarily act like it's true.
Mm-hmm.
That this whole thing breaks me free. I am no longer a slave.
Right.
To sin.
Mm-hmm.
I am now adopted. So if you take that all by itself, let it stand on all four of its legs, and then you say, well, what about free will? It's kind of like, what?
Right.
Who cares about that
right
now?
That's
not spoiled.
The message
that's
being shown.
Exactly. So I think maybe that helps a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't dismiss the importance of making a choice.
But that's a conversation for another time.
That's a conversation. And actually, it happens, I think, coming up.
Later on, yeah.
But for now, just let those things just rumble around inside your heart and bring you a massive sense of encouragement.
Definitely. Because, I mean, even the question, do I see myself in the way that God sees me as worthy enough for him to adopt me?
Oh, yeah.
To pay the unimaginable price of sending his one and only son to die on the cross for me.
Yeah.
It's
just
mind-blowing.
Isn't it? Let your head stay there for a while and be encouraged.
Mm-hmm.
COVID, no COVID, who cares? Right? Doesn't matter now.
No.
Because I am a child of the King. Mm-hmm. I have been adopted into his family.
Right.
And I mean, earlier in Corinthians 5, or in Corinthians, I can't remember the chapter now, it says that we are co-heirs with Christ.
Right.
So now, as at home, In the heavenly Father, this is where I said, you know, it's like the Trinity opening up. Mm-hmm. As at home as Jesus is in the Trinity, I now can be as at home. I can have my feet up. I can go to the fridge, take whatever I want out because I'm at home.
Yeah.
And I think we need to let those things become first in our lives so that later we can get to making decisions about how we receive this, making our choice and what it now means.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, but we need to let these things rest and find lodging, like actually lodging in our souls. Because we tend to forget those things. And if you are struggling with things, like if you're struggling with addictions, if you're struggling with personality issues, if you're struggling with insecurities or sin habits or whatever you're struggling with, it's I think this truth dislodges. Because if you believe in adoption, those things have been crushed. Those things have been long gone. So now how do I get myself to catch up to it? Right? Because now I have access to everything I need for divine life.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to make sure I embrace it, that I need to make sure that if it means that I have to apply it to my addiction, that's, I now have to do that.
Right.
I have to actually be intentional and take what I know I have now and put it over what I struggle with.
Right.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, interesting stuff.
That's good. Yeah.
What else are we looking at today?
So he ends this section you know, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespass. Or sorry, no, I jumped ahead.
Yeah,
verse 6. Yeah. To the praise of his glorious right. grace.
Yes. Yeah, I didn't really
all get of this to the praise of his glorious grace.
Yeah.
And it's something to wrestle with, because if I did something for my wife,
mm-hmm.
gave her a gift.
Yep.
So that she would then turn around and praise me and tell me what a great husband I was.
Right.
She'd have, I think, rightfully so, questions of, well, why did you actually do that?
Right.
Do you really love me, or do you just want to be puffed up?
Or you just love yourself.
Right.
Right. So this gift yeah. is more. Yeah. I have a humorous story. When I first got married, I bought my wife, I think it was either a birthday present or it was a Christmas present, but it was a barber. What do you call those things?
A shaver. Yeah.
And so obviously I bought her this gift
so that she
could do my hair when I had hair. So it was one of those gifts where like, is this gift for me or is it actually for you? Right. Yeah. No, that was a big mistake. Mm-hmm. I had to really eat humble pie on that one. I'd have never done that since.
Nope. You don't get her a new mop and bucket for Christmas?
No, none of that stuff, man. No, don't go near it. But it really does say what you just said it does.
Mm-hmm.
God does all this so he gets glorified.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing it for himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to... Because we're selfish,
mm-hmm.
and because we struggle with pride,
right?
It's hard not to believe that somehow that's not healthy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
God should not be doing stuff yeah. so that God gets glory for himself.
Right.
Right. But if you think slowly about it, mm-hmm. if you think it through slowly, what he does is so magnanimous. We've been saying it mm-hmm. all the way along. It staggers the mind, right? It staggers the heart. To think of all the love that God has for us, it would be improper now
right.
to somehow tarnish that by not giving him praise.
That's right.
So it's almost like the goodness that God gives to us needs to be goodly praised
mm-hmm.
because it is so good.
Right.
Right. It's so blessed.
Yeah.
So the blessedness that God gives to us is so blessed, it needs to be blessed.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly, that's even Paul right. kind of insinuates yeah. that when mm-hmm. he talks about it earlier on in the blessing stuff. And so when God does this for the praise of his own glory, that to me is reassuring. It will never change.
That's right.
If I don't know that God does this for himself and him alone,
mm-hmm.
then it could change.
Right. Because if it's based on me and something that I've done,
yeah.
well, who knows what I'm going to do tomorrow?
Right. Exactly. I'm so fickle.
Right.
But he is not fickle. He That's is right. the same yesterday, today, and yeah. forever.
Mm-hmm.
He never changes.
Right.
So when he does these things and it's for his glory, I know I can have confidence that what has been given to me will never be taken back.
Right.
Because it's for his glory, and he won't share his glory with anybody else.
That's right.
It's strictly for his glory.
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's a little bit, I think I mentioned it on Sunday, going back to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are really good for us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. Yeah.
But they're really good for us because they prove that God is actually good.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So if you go full circle with the argument, right?
Right.
It actually is good for me to honor my mother and father, right? Because mm-hmm. it will go well with me in life.
Right.
That's what the promise is mm-hmm. of that command. So if I stop there and I go, oh, okay, so if I obey my parents, I get to have good things
because
it'll be good for me in my life. But actually, if I go further and I look at, well, where did it come from? If I'm respectful and good as a father to my children and I respect mm-hmm. and the children respect me, then if I go further down the road, when it comes to understanding the goodness of God and respecting God, well, then I've mm-hmm. already worked that into a child's
right.
heart.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows already how to give glory to God because I have been good to him
right.
as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
So my parenting needs to reflect
right,
God so that my child can know who God is
yeah.
and be glorified in him.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stand back from the commandment, he gave the commandment so that I would be like that to my child and
right.
my child would respond this way so that God could get glory.
Mm-hmm.
So it all comes back around to him again.
Back to him.
You can't see me. I'm waving my hands around. but to me, that again, it just simply means it cannot change.
That's right. You know, I just think back to the Old Testament, the people of Israel, they turned their back on God so many times.
Oh, yeah.
And over again, he said, for my name's sake, I'm going to restore you. Mm. For my name's sake.
Yeah.
And it's, again, just Israel, even in those midst of turning away from God and rejecting him, his promises to them were still solid because they were based on his name,
in him,
on his glory, in him, not on what Israel was doing.
That's true. It can't be based on us. That is for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will drop the ball. Well, how are we doing for time? Where are we at?
Close to the end. All right.
Well, maybe we should wrap this up.
All right.
Any other thoughts that came from Sunday?
You know, it's just that challenge, remaining in Christ and knowing that everything else we need in life.
Yeah.
Whether it's peace, patience.
Yeah.
All those things.
Yeah.
They're found in him.
In him.
And we don't have to go out searching for those different things. We don't have to pray, God, give me patience. God, give me more of you.
Yeah, that's right.
Give me more of you.
Yeah, that's right.
And we have this promise that the fruit of him in our lives is going to be everything we need, all of those spiritual blessings in the heavenly places.
So good.
Just seek after him.
Yeah.
Draw close to him.
It simplifies life.
It does.
Right? Yeah. I don't have to go after 20 things.
Right.
For, you know, like the fruit of the Spirit, how many is that? 8 or what is it? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. It's like it's 8 things.
Right. 8 or 9, yeah.
I don't have to run after 8 things. I run after 1 thing.
That's right.
Even then, the fruit of the Spirit, it actually is the fruit.
Right. Singular.
Yeah.
Fruit.
Of the Spirit, which is many things.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if I go after 1 thing, I will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go after him.
Yeah.
I'll gain those other things by going after him.
Mm-hmm.
So it simplifies because I need simplicity. Because I can be so easily distracted by everything. I can see a little sparkle thing and all of a sudden I'm gone, or a fly goes by and I'm like, hey, look, there's a fly. And I forget what I was talking about. Yeah.
No. Seek after him.
Yeah.
Seek after Christ.
Seek after Christ. Seek after him. Mm-hmm. There's lots to enjoy, right? You'll never run out. That's because his will, again, back to his will, is pleasing, perfect, awesome, wonderful, joyful. That's his will.
Yep. All right. Well, looking forward to next week as we look at verses 7 to 14.
Yes, you're up to bat now.
I am.
So we'll be talking the other way next
time. That's right.
I'm going to be picking your brains.
That's right.
Should be fun.
Yep, looking forward to it.
All right.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.